Wanted to talk about really this morning, as you can imagine, being that Thanksgiving is this week, want to talk about Thanksgiving. But I want to talk about in the sense of the blessing of Thanksgiving. And I'm not talking turkey today. I mean, you can, for some people, turkey is a blessing, some people it's not. My dad did not like turkey. So we always had to have a ham or something else other than turkey because he just didn't like that bird, okay? So you may like turkey or you may not, but I'm not necessarily talking turkey because I imagine we'll all have a nice meal on that day. But really, it's the heart of Thanksgiving and the blessings of Thanksgiving that are every day, not just for Thanksgiving, but certainly appropriate to talk about it leading into Thanksgiving in just a few days. Well, I just wanted you to kind of imagine with me for a second that it's Christmas time and all the kids or maybe the grandkids are gathered around the tree and it's opening present time, and that's usually a very exciting time, right? That's a very exciting time that you can remember or you look forward to with expectation. It's a good family time. And everybody's around opening the presents, and one child or one grandchild is finished opening the presents and just they look around. And they look around, they look under the tree, and you say, well, you even notice this, and you call out and say, well, what are you looking for? And it says, well, the child looks and says, is that it? Isn't there more? And then when you tell the child, say, no, honey, sweetie, that was it. And then the child takes a kind of a sulking stance, upset, and they walk away going, well, some Christmas this is, as they walk out the room. Now, how do you feel in a situation like that? I'm not saying that it's ever happened, but how do you feel in a situation like that? That ungrateful child? Or do you feel like, what was that? What happened to little Johnny? What happened to little Susie? Do you feel awkward? Do you feel like there's a strain in the relationship? Maybe there's something in the air, the atmosphere changes from joy to kind of a negative. There seems to be a disconnect at that moment, a true disconnect, because this mindset that maybe a child had, the focus was not on what I got, but the focus was on what I didn't get, right? Oh, I got some good gifts, but it was what I didn't get that mattered. Well, we know that's not true, but we know that if that's the case, if that's the mindset, there's a barrier. A barrier has come up and is now even creating relational tension in the room. As you can imagine how you might feel in a situation like that. And you know, until that attitude changes, there's an issue. There's an issue that needs resolution and needs to be resolved. So what does a parent do when ungratefulness shows up? What did you do with your children and grandchildren when they showed signs of ungratefulness? How did you handle it? Now, one thing we do is we teach, right? We teach Thanksgiving. We teach to be thankful, to have a thankful heart when given a gift. Say thank you, right? Say thank you. Express it. Make it a high priority in the family, even modeling it, modeling Thanksgiving to our children so they understand it, they see it in us, they see us with a thankful heart. When the child catches hold of that attitude, relationships flow much better. There's an easier flow in the relationship. In fact, when the child learns gratitude, they appreciate the gifts, but more importantly, they appreciate the giver. Isn't that what it's about anyway? It's not about the gifts. It's really about the relationship and appreciating the giver. Well, we always want to be appreciated when we give gifts, right? I think everybody likes to have some sense of appreciation that this was a blessing or whatnot. And even if we didn't get everything we want, we still know how to be appreciative. Well, that's a child on Christmas. Hopefully it's not your child or your grandchild, and they will be very thankful on that day for the things that they received. But we are God's children, are we not? And we have had to learn, or maybe are still learning, about Thanksgiving. How important it is. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about Thanksgiving. Just read the Psalms. The Psalms are filled with giving thanks, and not always in good circumstances. But one thing that Scripture does talk about is that Thanksgiving is an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart. Thanksgiving is an inner disposition. It's something that happens on the inside of us. Now, we are called to express it, as we should. We should express it to others, that we're thankful for things that were done for us. We're thankful to God. We're thankful for the blessings we have. But it starts in the heart. Now, Colossians 3, chapter 3, 16 through 17, speaks a bit about this thankfulness of heart. Okay, actually it is up. You can follow on the screen. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Do everything with thanksgiving. Do everything with thanksgiving. Whatever you do, it says. It says, whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. It begins with Christ. It begins with the richness of God's word that He's given to us, the very word that has been salvation for our soul. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And in that dwelling of Christ in us, we sing psalms and we sing hymns and we sing songs with thankfulness in our hearts. First of all, are we grateful for Christ? That's the foundation. That's the starting point. Are we grateful for Christ? Or sometimes do we take it for granted? The foundational truths of the gospel always draw us back to thanksgiving. Always draw us back. And with that, we sing from a grateful heart. We find that thanksgiving is good. It's good for our relationship with God. You see, the opposite of thanksgiving is griping, murmuring, and complaining. And just like that child on Christmas, if the child chose to go that route, a barrier came up. And that's what happens when we choose the opposite of thanksgiving. A barrier comes up. We know, we can look back in the Old Testament and see that the Israelites did a whole lot of complaining and murmuring, griping in the desert. They seem to be really good at that. And what does griping and complaining do? It focuses my mind, it focuses our minds on the problem, on the issue. It's too hot. I'm hungry. I don't have enough of this. I don't have enough of that. Okay, well, I got this, but I don't have that. Well, I got that. Well, I don't have this. And it constantly looks for the what don't I have. It centers ourselves on the problem or the pain. And it really doesn't benefit us very much. In fact, it really seems to add fuel to the fire, increasing the problem or making the problem even bigger and bigger and bigger in our eyes and the way we see it. You see, the Israelites, they did not solve their problems through murmuring and complaining. They didn't solve one problem that way. Nothing was solved in that way. In fact, they just seemed to become more miserable. Their miserableness, or their misery, grew. Now, just like we said, a child who is not thankful needs to learn thankfulness. that griping and complaining will not produce better gifts. That if I gripe and complain this Christmas, next Christmas I'll have better gifts, right? Is that how it works? Not if you're good parents, right? Now, if you can be manipulated by your children in that way, you're producing gripers and complainers in your family. That's what you're producing. You're enabling that. That's not a good thing, right? No, we teach our kids thankfulness. And griping and complaining doesn't produce better gifts in your life. It doesn't work that way. In fact, parents want their children to grow in gratitude, knowing that life is much better with a heart of gratitude, a heart of thanksgiving. Sometimes it's just the way you choose to see life. Now, I believe that as we learn gratitude, our relationship with God grows. It grows. In fact, gratitude is a place that can work the goodness of God in our hearts. When we remember all the good things God has done for us, that we can focus on the blessings that we have in Him. Not the things we don't have or we want and we wish we had, but instead we begin to give thanks for first of all, Him. And as we do, our hearts open. They open more. And thanksgiving will actually lead us into worship. And worship leads us into God's presence. And it allows joy to grow in us. And the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we wonder sometimes when we're missing the joy, maybe we need to go back to thanksgiving. Now, how does thanksgiving lead us to worship? Well, let's think about that. How does thanksgiving lead us to worship? It leads us to give thanks to the giver. It always acknowledges there's the blessing, the gift, but there's the one who gave. If I thank God for a blessing, I acknowledge God as the one who blesses. He's the one who blesses. I've received blessings. He's the one who blesses. If I give thanks for a provision, I acknowledge God as provider. He's my provider. He gives me provisions. If I give thanks for healing, the healing I received, I acknowledge God as healer. If I give thanks for salvation, my life saved, I acknowledge God as Savior. You see, everything I am thankful for, I acknowledge that He is the one. He's the one. And there's names, many names in the Bible, which we come to worship. We worship Him who is El Shaddai. We worship Him who is Jehovah Rapha. We worship Him who is Jehovah Nissi. All the things of God, because we honor those names. We worship Him and for everything that He is. So we acknowledge and we're thankful, and also leads us to the very attributes of God in our worship. So giving thanks naturally flows into worship. And giving thanks also strengthens my relationship with God. And if my relationship with God is strengthened, who is blessed? Who receives blessing? I mean, I know it blesses God, but I think it blesses God more that I am stronger in my relationship because I'm thankful and I'm worshiping Him. And I grow in strength because my relationship with God is stronger. And I think that above all blesses God because He's seeing His children understand what it is to be grateful and to worship. That His children are understanding it and they're walking in it. I think at that point, the children of Israel can walk out of the desert into the promised land because they know who they worship. They know who holds the promises, and they're grateful, and they can do things that they could not do before. So if you ever find your worship struggling, go back to thanksgiving. If life is hard, there are always things to be thankful for. There's always things, even if it's going back to foundational truths of even your salvation in Christ and what he has done for you. Start even with the very breath in your lungs that you have breath today, and you woke up and you can hear the birds sing. There are things that we can be thankful always, always, even in the hardest times. 1 Thessalonians exhorts us, 1 Thessalonians 5 exhorts us, starting in chapter 16. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now, I also have the New Living Translation before me here. And it says the same, really. It says, be thankful in all circumstances, for it is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And it says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. I thought that was interesting. Well, if we know grieve, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, but do not stifle. It's like we're hindering the Holy Spirit. And I really believe through this scripture, thanksgiving and joy are so connected. They're so connected, as worship is also connected with thanksgiving. But it's interesting, he says, he ends that. He says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. And I really believe if we refuse to be thankful and we focus on the bad stuff and we want to just murmur, complain, and gripe, and that's the way we want to go, and that's the spirit we want to walk in, we will stifle the Holy Spirit. We will grieve the Holy Spirit, because there's a working of God in the Spirit that he wants to do in us that's going to be hindered because we're so focused on the negative, like the Israelites were in the desert. God doesn't want to be in that place. So he says, be joyful. Pray. Don't stop praying. Meaning, don't stop your relationship with the Father. Don't stop that relationship. Don't cut it off because you didn't get what you wanted for Christmas and you're going to go sulk in your room. I know that's a childish example, but sometimes, even as adults, I found myself being childish. I don't know about you, but sometimes we can be childish in our emotions and in sometimes our responses. But I also say, no matter what it is, and I realize there are things that happen in life that are really hard, that are really difficult. And it's not that we ignore those things or put those things aside. And the Bible is clear because it says, thank God in all circumstances. But it does not say, thank God for all things, right? In all things as opposed to for all things. In all circumstances, not for all circumstances, because there are things that you are not thankful for. But certainly, we can be thankful to God even in the midst of difficulties and hardships. And all circumstances does imply that there are going to be good and there's going to be bad. Right? The implication is there in the scripture. And we know it's easy to thank God when good stuff happens, when the job promotion takes place, when our salaries go up, when the house gets bigger. But it's more difficult to thank God when we lose our jobs, when we lose the house, when the bank account is empty, and so on and such. I can remember years ago, I was in Mississippi, working in campus ministry. And I was, it was as a break time. I can't remember what time of year it was. But I had some time off and I wanted to go visit a friend in Florida. So I was literally on the trip going to Florida in my car driving. I was about an hour away from my home at the time. And I got sideswiped by a truck on the highway going 65. Spun me out in the shoulder. Thank goodness there was a big, I say thankfully, and that I do. Thank God there was a big shoulder that I could spin out and all my energy was spent. But it totaled my car. I don't know what they call those things, but they had to cut my door open because it was smashed in. And really, they had to send me to the hospital, but it was really precautionary. I thank God that day I walked out. I temporarily blacked out, but I came back, and their ambulance was there soon enough. They cut me out, and I literally could walk out of the car. And I was in good situation. They checked me out. Nothing was broken. It was all good. I had to have some stitches. I was bruised. I had some cuts where glass had come across. Glass had been dispersed in the car. But I really was well. And I kind of took effect of that in saying, you know, I wasn't happy that my trip was canceled, was done with. I wasn't happy that my car was totaled, paid for car was totaled. And had many miles left to go. I wasn't happy about that, but as I was waiting for my friend to come and pick me up, God was speaking to me and continued to speak to me through that week. And when I went, I felt the Lord wanted me to talk about that with the students when I was giving a message that Thursday night afterwards. And I told the students that I was blessed. I was blessed. That in the midst of that, God took care of me. God protected me. The wreck could have been much worse. The guy didn't have insurance, but praise God, I did. Right? Covered the car. I walked out with just some bruises and a few stitches. Not too bad. I had a friend who was willing to come and pick me up that evening and take me back, and I started just to account and saying, I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. God was with me then, and God is with me now. God is seeing me through. And I knew that I was to give him thanks. There are times when things happen that are just not what you hope for, ask for, or in any way want it. But in the midst of that, in that circumstance, we can still give thanks to God. It's God's will for us to be thankful, even in the bad times, because God knows there will be bad days, but he also knows that we have many things to be thankful for. And God says in the scripture to hold on to what is good, to hold on to what is good and reject that which is evil. And that's important because there's that holding on to what is good. Don't let it go. Even when, I think the enemy does this, I think the enemy wants us, tries to convince us to let go of what is good, that what we know is good. The enemy wants to talk it down, to say it's not really anything, or, you know, why should we trust a God when bad things happen in life, when bad things are happening around us? He wants us to even let go of our faith in God. But instead, we're to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks. And for some people, I realize this is a big ask because things that have happened in their life have been really bad and really terrible. But Paul knew when he spoke these words that there was something very important at stake, that our freedom and our fellowship with God, our abundance with God, all of these things. Because when we become bitter, filled with anger, we can forget the blessings of God. We do. We can forget the blessings of God, and our heart suffers, and our spirit slowly wilts over time when we focus on the bitter things of life. And in many ways, we're reacting the way the enemy wants us to react. So there's power in giving thanks. There's power in giving thanks. Thanksgiving can literally turn the tide in our inner person. When we've been through hard times, when we've been through hard things, thanksgiving can be the very thing that can turn the tide and bring our heart back to where it needs to be. We all have the right to hold on to bitter things, but it's just not God's will for our lives. Because he knows that our soul will suffer. So we can enter a new place when we intentionally choose thanksgiving. The psalm that we read earlier, Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." When we come into God's presence, which he invites us to do, he says, enter. And he's speaking even of the analogy of the temple. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving. Come into the courts with praise. And it's this image of you're walking into the temple, into the place of worship, into the place of sacrifice, where literally in the courts you would give your sacrifice. But now we understand it's the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of giving our praise to him. And sometimes it is that, especially if they're going through hard times. But we go closer and closer to God, even as we come into the Holy of Holies, to bless his name. And at that point, it's worship. We're fully abiding in him, living in him, worshiping him. We intentionally put off all bitterness, and we give God thanks. And we can pray with honesty, say, God, I don't like what's happened to me. I don't like these things. I don't like these circumstances. It's been painful for me. But I choose not to embrace the bad, but to remember your goodness. And I will begin by giving you thanks. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for holding all eternity, holding my life for all of eternity, preparing even a place for me. Thank you, Lord God, that I'm not destitute. Thank you, God, that you love me, that you're for me, not against me, and that you can even turn the hardest things around. We have to have some intentionality in our thanksgiving, not how we feel at times, but just simply coming and saying, Lord, I'm going to give you thanks, even if I don't really feel like it right now. And it's amazing what that will do in our hearts. It's amazing how our hearts will warm up, our hearts will begin to open, and we'll start to have fellowship with God again. Praise will come more easily, and we will position ourselves to have true communion with the Lord. And you know, it's in these places, in those type of fellowships, that God heals the hurts. He heals the pains. He heals the sufferings that you've experienced. But it's just opening yourself up and saying, Lord, I'm yours, even though I'm broken. Listen to someone who knew how to enter into God's presence. Psalm 23, Psalm of David, you know very, very well. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Some Christians have lost their joy. They've lost their worship. They've lost their praise because they forgot the power of thanksgiving. And David paints a clear picture that the Lord is his shepherd. And he allows the shepherd to lead him wherever he so chooses. But he also trusts that the Lord is leading him to green pastures, to still waters, that it's the heart of God to restore his soul. And David felt definitely that need in times of his life for the Lord to restore his soul. So we're called to open up to the Lord and help people too, to not turn their back on God and to say, Lord, I don't want to go where you want me to go because I'm upset with you. And that's where some Christians are. They won't let the Lord lead them to the still waters. They won't let them lead them to the abundant fields, the green pastures, because it is God's desire to restore their soul. But it just takes that person who has their arms crossed to turn around and say, okay, Lord, I'm going with you. Even if there's just difficult things that they're dealing with in life. So this morning, the encouragement is don't lose your Thanksgiving. And let Thanksgiving not be a holiday, but an everyday. Give thanks to the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, give thanks. Give thanks for the very breath in your lungs and just go from there for all the good things God has done in your life. And let Thanksgiving lead to worship, to where you worship Him out of the abundance of your heart, out of an overflow of your heart, an overflow of thanksgiving. And let God restore your soul. Let Him lead you to those green pastures, to those quiet waters. Let Him restore that your inner being so that there is joy on the inside of you. There is true joy, a complete joy that you can have. It's yours in Christ. It is yours. Let me share this last story with you. It was a devotional written by a Messianic Jew. His name was, if I say this right, Chaim Ben Torah, in 2019. And he wrote on Thanksgiving out of an experience of his life. I'll read part of his story. He says, I learned the importance of Thanksgiving during one of the darkest periods of my life. I got wiped out just as old Job got wiped out. On my way to my parents' house, my car broke down. The engine was cooked. On top of everything else, I now had no car. A tow truck took me into Michigan City, where I left the remains of my car with a mechanic. I mentioned I was going to Chicago, and if I could get to the South Shore train station, I could take the train to Chicago and catch the Blue Line to O'Hara Airport. My parents were in walking distance of the airport. Someone overheard me, and she offers to get me to the train station as she needs to do some good karma or karma mitzvah. I didn't care. I just needed a ride. Karma or mitzvah. When I got to the airport and walked into the terminal, memories of many trips I took out to that terminal came flooding back. Life was so joyful, hopeful, and filled with great anticipation in those days. Now, life was only filled with hurt, disappointment, pain, and sorrow. I sat down, hanging my head in despair, when I suddenly heard the saxophone man. Every time I flew out of that terminal, I saw an old boy with a saxophone and an open saxophone case, and he would play a wide variety of songs, including the old Boots Randolph songs. Well, many, as well as myself, would throw coins and dollar bills at his saxophone case to show our appreciation. This time, the saxophone man's playing was greatly improved, and I suspected it was improved because he was playing an inspirational song, and I could tell he was playing that song from his heart, for he was practically making that saxophone sing. As I sat listening to the music, my mind was playing out the lyrics. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. I moved away to a corner where I was hidden from the crowd. I leaned against the wall and just sank to my knees weeping and thanking God that nothing changed with Him. And I wept all the things I could think of that I was thanking for. I was thankful for. The joy of the Lord then returned. What a great story. He goes on and ends the story and says that when he goes back, he was going to put money, a generous offering, in the saxophone case. He went back after his time of weeping and crying and prayer to the Lord, giving thanks, and he could not find the saxophone man anywhere. And he says he looked around, could not find. He asked the attendant there and says, "I'm looking for the man who was here just a little bit ago. Could you, what happened?" And he says, "No, that saxophone man, no, he's been dead for over a month now." See, I think sometimes God has a message for us, and he wants to speak. Because maybe that just wasn't necessarily the song that that man played very much, but it was an angelic song that God wanted to share with him, and saying, even in the midst of all the things that you're going through, and that's even true for us today and anybody that you know, that there is nothing out of the reach of God. And sometimes it's simply saying, give thanks. I know you've been through the worst of the worst, but give thanks. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's where we're made strong, in our worship, in our praise, in our thanksgiving. So I hope this week is a time where you remember all the things that God has done for you, and you give thanks. And let it be a joy in your heart, an abundant joy that you will share with others.